Welcome to Lakeview. I hope you all are having a wonderful Sunday morning. My name is Jay Griffin. I am not the pastor. I'm the backup quarterback. I'm filling in for Pastor Chris today. So thank you all for joining us. If you're visiting for the first time, just know it's so nice to have you. Just great to see faces. And I woke up this morning. Well, actually, Pastor Chris texted me at like 5:15 this morning, which woke me up. And the rain was coming down, and it was one of those Sundays where you're like, boy, it'd be really easy to just roll over and hit that snooze button today. But man, we had just a packed 9 o'clock service this morning. Man, I don't know, there was an empty seat in here at 9 o'clock this morning. Just amazing, and great to see all you folks here for 11 o'clock service. And just excited to worship God and just surround ourselves with Christian brothers and sisters and just lift him up. Amen. All right, so before we jump into it, a couple of announcements. There are bulletins out front. I don't know how many people grab them when you come in or out, but there are available. A lot of good announcements in there. There is a stand out front to volunteer or sign up to volunteer for a soccer league that we're partnered with here at Lakeview. So if anybody has interest in that, please feel free to inquire about that. And then the most notable announcement for this week. Really excited to say our Wednesday night classes start back this week. So this Wednesday night, we'll have our Soul Food Cafe, followed by Wednesday night class series, several different classrooms available as well. So I'm pretty excited that for the first time in quite a while, I'll be co-facilitating a Wednesday night class. So I'm doing a class in partnership with a couple other men, Mr. Lamar, good morning. And the class we're doing is called Golf's Sacred Journey. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of there was a movie done a while back called 7 Days in Utopia. I don't know if anybody's ever familiar with that, Christian-based movie. And so essentially that movie was based on a book called Golf's Sacred Journey. And what it does is it parallels how an individual deals with adversity and grows himself and perfects their golf game to how we as Christians also deal with adversity and grow and perfect our Christian walk as we go through life. And so really excited to do that class. It's primarily meant for men, but I welcome anybody who wants to join. So anybody that has interest in that or just any other Wednesday night class, we hope you'll find a place and take part. So with that, welcome to Lakeview. So nice to see everybody. Hand it off to our worship team, and we're out of here.
This new year, we cry out to you, the one who restores broken hearts, who refreshes tired spirits, who makes all things new. Let our faith and hope be born again today. Help us to let go of the past, stop looking back, and turn our eyes toward you. We are here today in full acceptance of who we've been, but also in hopeful expectation of who you're shaping us to be. Let your love work in us so you can better work through us. We stand ready to embrace all you have for our lives. Ready to do your will. Ready to witness the wonders of your mighty hand. Ready to share the redeeming love, the perfect grace, the life-changing salvation you have given us. So today, we lift up our voices in praise to the one who washes away our failures, who wipes away our fear and doubt, to the Almighty God who makes all things new.
All right. Good morning again. What a perfect message for beginning of a new year, 2023 coming at us. All right. So as I mentioned a moment ago, my name is Jay Griffin, and I've been a member here at Lakeview since 2014. My wife, Katie, and my daughter, Taylor, as well. And so I want to start today by asking a question. If we were being completely honest, okay, how many of you would say there are times in your life where you feel closer to God than in others? Right? How many of you would say there are times where you felt completely locked in on your walk with Christ, and then there's times where maybe you kind of veer off a little bit? Just curious. If you're okay, show of hands. Thank you. Someone. Okay. Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. All right. This is good news. So there may be some of you who haven't met me or don't know who I am. And you could be asking yourself, hey, how do I not know this person who has been a member at Lakeview for almost a decade? What may be even more interesting is that in the past, here at Lakeview, I have served as lay leader. I've served on staff parish relations committee. I've led several Wednesday night classroom series. At one time, I was very involved in men's ministry. I filled in on previous Sundays for several pastors prior to Pastor Chris. At one point, I was so involved in Lakeview and so passionate about my walk with Christ that I was actually exploring with those closest to me ways that I could pursue a degree in theology. It's on fire for God, I was. And then without warning, without seeing anything coming, without recognizing it, I sort of lost my footing. I was still the same Jay, still love God, still would find time to read the Bible, still would do little apps, you know, Bible plans on the app every once in a while. But I was different. Over the last 24 months, I haven't attended church as regularly and as passionately as I once did. And actually, for a brief spell during COVID, I actually attended a different church closer to my home in Chelsea. Somehow, as a family, we made that make sense in our lives. Looking back on it, it's a completely ridiculous decision. But in the moment, it made sense. The world was so different through all that. So I can certainly identify, and it sounds like y'all maybe have experienced that as well. And I think there are a lot of other Christians that are similar to us, that maybe there are times in their lives where they feel really, really close to God, and then times where they just veer off a little bit. So a few weeks ago, my wife wanted to go test drive a new vehicle. So I made the mistake of saying I had a concern about her current vehicle. So that like was the green light to go shop for vehicles, okay? Like, we're nowhere near ready to buy financially, but, you know, that doesn't matter. And so she starts doing all of her due diligence, and she's shopping around, and she calls this one dealership, and they have three vehicles that she's interested in, okay? And so she gets this all lined up, and I agree to go. It's fun for Taylor. It's kind of, you know, she gets excited sitting in the different seats in the cars and stuff. I actually hate doing it, but I go along with the process. So we get to the dealership, and here's all three vehicles parked out in front of the dealership, the office there. And we go, and we get the keys to the first one, and we get in, and we start driving. And, of course, we're looking at all the different components. You know, you got heated seats and all this stuff that cars have nowadays. And this one actually had an intercom system for whatever reason. It was like a third row seat in the back, so you had to have an intercom. You couldn't just turn around and talk, okay? And so as we're driving, my wife starts to veer off into the other lane, okay? Now, this is on purpose. I had no idea this was on purpose, all right? But it was intentional because apparently there are vehicles that have drift warnings. Are y'all aware of this? Okay, I know nothing about this, okay? This is beyond Jay Griff, okay? And so I'm looking around. I'm like, you know, are we going to put anybody in danger, number one? And so she starts drifting. And then as if this was all completely normal, she looks at me and she's like, yeah, it doesn't have a drift warning. I'm like, no kidding. I'm like, nope. So as I was thinking about this message this morning, it got me to thinking about, you know, what if our Christian lives had drift warnings? What if there were alerts, like, you know, I'm a guy, I don't always pick up on the little cues, you know? What if there were like sounding alarms when Jay was getting off track? What if we could recognize in our faith walk when we were veering off? So today, assuming that maybe we're all a little bit susceptible to this, I want to look at ways that we might recognize if that's the case in our lives, okay? So, and actually maybe another way to say it is, I want to look at the things you absolutely should not do in 2023, if you want to walk with Christ. If you want to get off your walk with Christ, I'm going to tell you what to do today. I'm going to give you bad advice today, all right, based upon personal experience here. Y'all ready? So I want to break it into two components. The first one is why. Why does this sometimes happen in our Christian lives? And then secondly, how do we actually encounter this and have this happen to us? So the first thing is, let's start with our scripture reading. I think Darren, pop it up there for us. So this is Matthew chapter 13. And I'm just going to read off the screen here so we're on the same version. So then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, did I miss something? Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. So it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Got it, okay. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So now we'll fast forward in Matthew later in this chapter where it actually explains the parable. So listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed that falls on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. Amen? All right, so let's examine some of that. So I think many of us fall into that somewhere. I think we all fall on there somewhere. I think there are a lot of Christians out there that have a desire to want to know God, and they come to church and they get a really good message and it feels good, and that's the first step in a walk with Christ is that emotional connection, that emotional moment. But then as Christians, we know that we have to be diligent. We have to work in our Christian lives to grow close to God, and that can be hard. And I think sometimes people fall away. That was the second part of the parable there. I think a lot of us typically or mainly in a consumer-driven economy like we live, get caught up in the thorns, right? The worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and all the things that we have exposure to in our society. So I think this is all, at least for me, very real. So I think one of the questions that we ask ourselves is, you know, why can't I get it right? Why do I drift? And I think part of that answer is that we have to remember and recognize always that there is a enemy out there that is pursuing us constantly with vigor and intensity. And his entire goal is to separate us from the love of God. Amen. That is a very real thing. Okay. And so that is certainly a part of it. And so with that in mind, let's look at some of the things we should not do as Christians, but if we want to get off track, we would absolutely want to do. Have y'all ever heard of, I'm going to veer off just a minute. So have y'all ever heard of a book? It's called Screwtape Letters. It's by C.S. Lewis, I think, Matt. So this is an interesting book. If you've never read it, it's extremely fascinating. And so what the author does is there's a subject in the book, okay? And what's happening to the subject person in the book is there's a demon here on earth, and there's these letters happening between the devil and the demon about how to trip up this person on his or her Christian walk, okay? And it is like incredibly enlightening and remarkably written. And so if you've never read it, I encourage it. It's just such an amazing read. So, all right, so we're going to look at some of the things that are probably in that book, quite honestly. So, all right, the first pitfall. So what is the first thing we absolutely want to do if we want to get off track with our Christian walk, okay? The first one is this: become unhappy with your life, all right? That is the very first step. Just become unhappy with your life. Now, this one is fairly easy to do, okay, because we don't all have the same starting point in life. We don't all have the same access to opportunities in life. The world is unfair. It is an unfair place. That is very real, right? And so if we want to get off track with our Christian walk, let's really focus in on that. Let's hone in on just how unfair our lives are. Focus in on the fact that good things happen to bad people every day and bad things happen to good people every day. And think often about how much better everyone else's life is than yours. And that if you just had their circumstances, you would be completely happy. For you guys out there, okay? All right? That guy that has that truck with the big mud flaps and the, I don't know, the speakers and tires, I don't know, whatever. I'm like just making stuff up as I go. But I just look at the person that has whatever truck or vehicle you don't have and just focus all about that. For you ladies out there, focus on the your friend that has the perfect husband that does all the things that you wish your husband would do or doesn't do. Find that friend of yours that has the husband that massages her feet. Like my wife. See? Just kidding, there's a joke there. These are the thoughts, if you want to get off your walk with Christ, that you should focus on. Right? Don't, okay, here's what you shouldn't do. Okay? Don't read about King Solomon, who was the wealthiest and wisest man ever to live, who said in Ecclesiastes, "Everything is meaningless. I tried to find joy in huge homes for myself and gardens and parks. I became greater than all who ever lived before me. My wisdom never failed me. And when I looked at all I had, it was all so meaningless." Don't spend time being grateful for all the things God has given you in this life. Don't read scripture that tells you in James chapter 1 that God did not promise us a pain-free life. Don't read on in that chapter that says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way in this life, consider it an opportunity for great joy, because when you encounter adversity, your faith is being strengthened." Trials and adversity actually draw us closer to God. Here's a great example. I don't know how many football fans we have. I try not to use too many football analogies. I know everybody's not a football person, but look at this very tragic event that happened in the NFL last week. And all of a sudden, it was okay to pray. Did everybody catch that? All of a sudden, it was okay to pray. Adversity draws us closer to God. There's a verse where Paul in 2 Corinthians, I'll actually read it. I was thinking about it a minute ago. I didn't have this prepared, but in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me, to keep me from becoming proud, to keep me humble as a Christian," right? We all have purposely, I believe, adversity in our lives that keeps us from being humble so that we rely on God. Amen? That's how we're designed. It's very clear. Right? So don't, if you want to veer off your track with God, don't listen to that wisdom, okay? Just focus in on all the unfairness of life. Okay? And that everybody else has better circumstances than you. Okay? So there's step one. All right, step two to get off track. You ready? Step two is use as much of your free time as possible to jump on this bad boy, this little handheld computer we have, and absorb a whole bunch of social media stuff, all right? That is the next best thing you can do. Now, this one's pretty easy because we've already kind of become unhappy with our circumstances, so now all we got to do is feed the monster. And what better way to do that than social media? The mind naturally seeks out information to validate what it thinks and feels. So all you got to do now is go to Facebook and scroll through your news feed and find as many examples of people who are living a better life than you as you can. And let me tell you, on Facebook, that's all of them. Everybody's living a better life than you on Facebook. While you're at work dealing with the mundane tasks of life, pull up Facebook and find that friend that's on vacation at the beach. Pause on someone's post who you don't even know, that friended you like 5 years ago, but because you like having 672 friends, you won't delete them, right? Pause on their post that, I don't know, they're at the gym getting their hashtag workout on, right? Now, it's best if you do this while you're laying on the couch binge-watching Netflix. Okay, context matters here, all right? Find your favorite show, get about 11 seasons in, with my personal preference, a bag of peanut butter M&Ms, and just go to town. Here's another good example. I'll leave that one. So what's important about this component is that you do this as often as you can, okay? So start first thing in the morning. Open up social media, start filling your brain with it. Make sure it's the last thing you do before you go to sleep at night. That way you can start and end your day with something that's very important, and that is validation that you are right. Everybody else has it better than I do. My life is a ripoff. I've been cheated. Now, if you do this enough, you might even become angry with God at your circumstances. Ignore the fact that social media is flawed. That people put on social media their highlight reel, and then you compare your lowest moments in life to their best moments in life, and it's a rigged game. It's a flawed system. And all it leads to is you having a feeling of self-defeat, self-doubt, potentially a damaged self-image, or lessened self-confidence. So don't, again, bad advice here, start your day by praying, thanking God for all the amazing things that he's put in your life. Thank you for the many blessings that he's anointed on you. So when I first got married, for the first couple of years, even though I was married, you don't just change overnight. I still live like a bachelor a lot of ways. Like, I would get up in the morning and I would go like pour a whole box of cereal into like a Tupperware bowl. And I'd walk around the house eating with a shovel, and I'd go get in the shower right at the right time. My wife's in the trying to do her hair, and I'd fog up all the windows. I can imagine that was very becoming, right? It would be contradictory for her to go, "Thank you, God, for putting this husband in my life." But what if we wired our hearts to work that way? Right? I don't still do that as often. All right. What if we didn't start each day with gratitude? What if we didn't start each day with the perspective that there are many out there that would love to have my circumstances? There are many out there that would love to be in the position that I'm in. Don't think about that. Don't think about, we live in a world where, like, this just still completely astonishes me, but you don't even have to get out of your pajamas and go to the grocery store to get groceries. They'll bring it right to your house, right? Don't think about how spoiled we are. Just focus on the things that are unfair and where I've been cheated in life. Don't remind me that there are people who have problems in this world far greater than I will ever know or experience. All right, so there's rule number two. So number one, figure out where your life's unfair. Number two, feed the beast, right? Validate that bad boy. Don't start and end your day with prayer. Maybe what you should do if you want to get off track is like set a screen time goal on your phone. Like, let me see how much screen time I can build up this week. That'd be a good unhealthy challenge. All right, number three. So when the alarm goes off on Sunday morning, just hit the snooze button. Today would have been an easy one, right? Rain's falling, right? Kind of a dreary day. Would have been really easy just to roll over and hit that snooze button. Better yet, if you don't want to do that, right? Convince yourself that the church you're attending isn't meeting your needs, that it's flawed, okay? And there's a better church out there. You just got to go find it, okay? You just got to go find it. Just go hop around and be this fly on the wall so that you don't really build any personal relationships with your church family. What may even help you in this endeavor is to engage in debates with people that tell you, you don't even have to go to church to be a Christian. That religion's bad. It's a relationship that matters. Well, I don't want to debate that. There's lots of scholars and theologians that can debate that and speak on that subject way better than me. But I think it's important to recognize that if we don't regularly surround ourselves with our Christian family, we become susceptible. I think it happened to me. And something for us all to remember is the lion don't tackle the zebra that's with the pack. He goes after the one that's way off, separated from the group. Amen? So when the alarm goes off, don't jump out of bed and thank God you have an opportunity to come to church and witness and grow. Just roll over and hit the snooze button. Don't remember that there are many places in this world today where Christians don't have the freedom to worship like we do without fear. All right. Finally, okay, so I got two more, I think. So to veer off your path with God, here's the next step. Just start giving into some temptation in your life. It's best if you start small, okay? Now, this one's pretty easy, too, because sinning feels good. And if it don't, you ain't doing it right. Okay? Sinning feels good for a little while. Until, as a Christian, you experience remorse and regret. Falling feels like flying for a little while. It's one of my favorite songs. So don't fight temptation in your life. Just give in. Just make excuses. This is who I am. Now, I'm not talking about people that struggle with addiction. That is a very, very real thing that can cripple someone's mind, cripple their body. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the everyday little sins that we all get encountered with. The things that are easy to do when you let your guard down. Should I eat the fourth Krispy Kreme donut for this breakfast this morning? My cardiologist doesn't think so, but my tummy says yep. Because they're really, really, really good. They closed the one on 280, by the way. Have y'all seen this? I'm like heartbroken. Hey, I'm at work and there's a group of people over by the water cooler. They're complaining about the company, or they're complaining about the boss, or they're complaining about other coworkers. Let me go involve myself in that conversation. That'll be good for my perspective, right? I might even find a good, couple of bad words I can drop in there for emphasis. When you get cut off in traffic, or someone won't get out of your way because you're in a hurry to get to work, and you mumble those bad words under your voice, just let those fly. Don't hold back. Now, letting your guard down with small sins is a critical step in the process, because what it does is it prepares you for the really big sins. All right, once you get those small ones out of the way, it's okay to have that affair. Right? It's okay to go on a major shopping spree and bury your family in debt. It's funny. So we just came out of Christmas season. And I don't know if y'all process this the way I do, but like the car buying Christmas commercials, y'all know what I'm talking about? Right? It's beginning to look a lot like Savings at Lexus. Like, who goes and buys a car for Christmas? I don't know. Like, maybe there are people like, if my wife went and bought it, like a $70,000 car, like they put on TV, without telling me, I'd lose my mind. I don't know who does that. All right. I don't know. I'm getting off point. So there's the next piece, okay? Develop a healthy self-image. Start sinning a little bit. Open the door for bigger sin. Here's the final step, okay? Surround yourself with the wrong people. I'm not saying bad people, okay? We're Christians. We are to love everybody as Christ loves us, amen? I'm saying the wrong people, okay? The people that are going to speak the wrong things into your life. Boy, I wrote a note down there. I can't read it. All right, so here we go. We've got a really good plan. We're at the beginning of 2023. We've got an entire 12 months ahead of us, right? We should be desiring to live a godly life and grow close with Christ. But if we want to get off path, there's some things that will certainly help us, okay? One of the things that is important, I think, through this process is to recognize that the biggest thing that can trip us up in our Christian walks is a heart motivated by self-interest. If we're not happy and all that we focus on is our own unhappiness, it becomes very easy to disconnect from the love of Christ. The most persistent barrier to having a loving relationship with God is a heart motivated by self-interest. Now, I hope some of that was humorous and fun, but also very real, because as I mentioned, I think it's very important for us as Christians to always remember there is an enemy out there that is pursuing us every single moment of every single day. And we live in a world that presents us so many things to help get us off track. One of the things I've become convinced about is if the devil can't make us bad, he'll just make us busy. We'll just put so much stuff in our lives that we don't have time for God. And when we're busy, maybe we're just a little susceptible to let our guard down. And by doing a few seemingly insignificant small things on the surface one day that aren't healthy, we can wake up one day and be way off our path and wonder where God is in our lives. I don't know if you guys, don't remember. So I'm a little bit older. There was a time when pickup trucks had a bench seat, right? Anybody ever have one of those trucks? Like you slide all the way across the thing, right? And so you like meet somebody new, this new cute girl, and you start dating, and she gets in the truck and you drive and she slides over, you know, and you put your arm around her, and that's you know, warm and fuzzy and it's all lovey-dovey and feels good. And then you date a little while and maybe you get married. You have a couple kids and you get a mortgage and a job and all these things start taking over your life. And one day you get in the truck and your wife's sitting over by the door. And she looks at you and goes, "Honey, how come we're not as lovey-dovey as we used to be?" And someone goes, "Well, I don't know. I didn't move." God hasn't moved, right? This is something I had to realize in 2022 when I got off track. God didn't move. Jay moved. Jay got off track. If we're wondering why we may not be feeling as close to God, maybe there's some things that we need to change in our lives. The most wonderful thing to know, however, is that God will never leave us. He will never abandon us. He will never steer us off a cliff. He will never put us in a situation that he is not right there with us. We have an amazing God in control of our lives. The devil wants you to be ashamed. The devil wants you to have a heart full of jealousy and envy and anger so that he can devour you. The world provides you all the tools you need to veer off track, and it's right here in this little handheld computer that we all have access to. God also provides you a different tool that is equally as powerful. God knows every one of our needs. And he gives us every single thing we need just right when we need it. Have y'all ever heard that country song from Garth Brooks, Unanswered Prayers? Y'all familiar with that? I mean, what a profound message. Have you ever been in a position in your life where you believed at some point you absolutely knew what was best for your life? You were just convinced. And then things didn't go as planned, and you looked back with wisdom later on, and you went, man, I'm sure glad I wasn't in control of that. How many things in our lives do we try to control that maybe we shouldn't? So what's to be done with all this? Well, maybe it's just good to go back to the scripture that we opened with. Maybe there's some of us who are like me. You're that seed that gets trapped amongst the thorns. You want to do a good work. You want to live a God-honoring life, but things of this world trip you up. It's hard. So how do we deal with that? Well, I would tell you personally, something that helps me when I recognize I'm off track with God is I try to make a commitment. I try to find a way to take that step back. And maybe a good, reasonable commitment, if anyone is experiencing this or feeling this in their life right now, maybe a good commitment is a Sunday school class or come to Wednesday night class. Those are great ways to strengthen your walk with Christ. Maybe it's time in your life as we start 2023 just to pray for a renewed heart, to pray for a renewed spirit, a renewed perspective for what this walk with God is really all about. That He is in complete control and He loves us and knows exactly what we need and what we don't need, and we shouldn't overthink it. And we should guard our hearts and guard our minds against things that we know will trip us up and get us off our path. And for wisdom to know that there are naturally going to be ups and downs in our lives, that we're designed that way. And when those good things happen, be really careful to not get too caught up in the emotion of what feels good. And when bad things happen, remember that God designs adversity into our lives on purpose, because that draws us close to Him. Adversity makes us stronger. If in your heart you've been worried that maybe you've been feeling emotions of jealousy, anger, resentment, bitterness, and you know that's not right, and you know you're off track, that you're caught up in the things of this world, know that that's not the life God wants for you. That's the life the enemy wants for you. And maybe it's just time to find some scripture or pray. And maybe there's some of you who aren't necessarily there, right? You're not off track. You're good, right? You're living the faith walk that you want, but you want it to be more. You want it to strengthen. Well, going back to the parable of the soil, I can't imagine any greater soil than Lakeview United Methodist Church. I've been a member here for 10 years. I've done everything possible to mess up my faith walk with Christ. And yet I'm still encountered with forgiveness and a loving family, a loving church family that loves my family, and I love this family back. And it's an incredible blessing to be able to come here and worship and be a part of this congregation. One of the things maybe to close with, as we think about our soil here at Lakeview, what's our purpose? Well, certainly it's to grow ourselves, but also we have a responsibility to demonstrate God's love to those when we walk out these doors today. And one of the things that alarms me, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and you know, having talked about all the things we just talked about, we know how dangerous social media can be and how dangerous that rigged game is. And there's an entire generation out there that's all they get their information from. And they can very easily get caught up in being confused about their value, their self-worth, how much God loves them, what's important in this life. And I don't know how to combat that completely. I'm a father. My daughter's 9. I've got that in front of me to deal with. But I know a big part of that involves me being right here in Lakeview. I know that with a fact. Amen? All right. Let's stand and pray. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for your love and your grace in our lives. Over and over, we make the mistake as Christians that we think we know what's best. We think we know the things that we should have or not have or have access to or not have access to. We get tripped up thinking we should be in control. We know over and over through examples in our lives and mistakes that we make that that's not how you designed it. You designed us to be sheep. You designed us to be completely dependent on you. Father God, I pray as we turn this calendar page and we look at 2023. We've got 12 months in front of us. Every one of those months with a special day. A day to focus and strengthen our relationship on you. A day to show others your love and what we know about you, that you will never steer us off track. In the Bible, you talk about how beautiful the lilies in the field are. And yet they have to do nothing. All they have to do is be. Father God, how much more beautiful are we than the lilies? If we would just trust you to lead our lives, to not overthink, to not try to be in control, to not try to decide all the things that we feel like we should try to decide for our lives. What witness could we be to others, Father God, if we just did that? How powerful of a force could we be when we walk out these doors to the world around us to be able to demonstrate that wisdom and your love through our actions? Because we have clear hearts and we have clear minds, Father God, and we trust you in all that we do. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what comes in this day and in this month and in this year, good or bad. Your scripture tells us both good and bad things come from your hand. Father God, I pray we have the wisdom to appreciate the good, but to also appreciate the bad as well. Father God, we love you. We pray for your guidance in our lives. In your holy and approachable name, amen.